It's good to be here. It's really good to be inside. Why don't we pray and then we will read the Bible together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us. And you love us enough that you don't just get us in motion and leave us going alone, but you speak to us through your word. This morning we want to remind ourselves that your word is living and it's powerful, and that you speak to us when we read it. So help us to hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going through the book of Matthew, and if you're looking at the calendar and if you're looking at the rate of speed we're going through the book, we're going to be long past the birth of Christ by the time we get to Christmas, so I'm not sure what we're going to do for Christmas, but we'll see when we get there. But today, we're going to look at one of the stories, actually a story we looked at last week, but there was a part, the very last verse in that story, we just skipped over because it was different from what we looked at last week, and I wanted to take some time and focus on that together this week. And that this story, and specifically the last verse in the story, calls us to focus on something that we seek after in our lives, a search that marks all of our lives. And most of us, when I say what it is, you're going to say, "Oh no, I'm not a teenager," unless you are a teenager, in which case, well, then that would be a different reaction. But most of us will say, "I'm not a teenager anymore. That's not a search that marks my life. I don't seek after that." Well, I think we probably do. Maybe you don't. I think we do, though. We want approval. We need approval. And whether you say approval or you say validation or love, we want someone to look at us, somebody that we value, that is important to us, preferably, to look at us and say, "I approve of you. I'm proud of you. I'm happy with you. You're worthy. You're a good person. You've done good." Whatever form that takes, you're valuable. I want to hear that. I'm guessing you want to hear that. And when I say it like that, you might say, "I'm good. I don't, you know, depend on that." But I think we do. I want to hear someone. I want to know that I'm loved and that the person who loves me is happy with me. When I feel that, I feel complete. I don't know. Maybe you're different, but I feel complete. I feel secure. I feel confidence. I feel peace inside. So someone who's important to me, loves me, and approves of me, is happy with me, looks at me and doesn't think, "You need to change this, this, and this," but rather, "You're good." That when I feel that, I mean, sometimes we hardly ever feel that, but when you feel that, it's like, wow, that just kind of makes everything right. And the picture, at least for me, that comes to mind, and sometimes, and if you watch television or movies, you can see this image reused, because you can see the image and not even hear words and know exactly what's being felt. When a father puts his arm around his son and looks at him and smiles, kisses him on the cheek, whatever that look, tussles his hair, it's the, "I'm proud of you, I approve of you," and for some of us, whenever we see that, whether it's in real life or on the screen, or even me saying it right now and you're imagining it, for some of us, that's a painful image because you never experienced that from your father, maybe even from your mother. And so you say, "I don't like that image," but you know what it means. You know what goes with it. For some of us, that's a happy image because, yeah, I know exactly. I've felt that. We want that. And so we look for it. We look for approval. We seek for approval in other people. First of all, it's our parents. We want, you know, children, it's like you can sometimes just see it in kids. They'll do anything for their parents to be happy with them. And then they get older and they'll do anything for their parents not to be happy with them. But that's another. Was that only me? Okay. Then we look for it in other people. That's why even when we're all growing up, when someone criticizes us, it bothers us. Why does it bother us? isn't it because when you get criticized, the person is saying, I don't approve of you? And even if it's a person that you really don't like or you don't know very well, them saying, I don't approve of you, stings. We want to be approved. So we do things to earn other people's approval. We think, when we put on clothes. See, I thought when I was a teenager, I was told, well, that's because you're a teenager. And then now I'm all grown up, and I see it in people who are my age and older and younger, and it's like that never changes. We put on clothes, and what are we thinking? What are people going to think of me? We do things, and what's the thought? What will people think of me? People, before I post this on Facebook, what are they going to say? Is this, what will people say? What will they comment? Maybe I'm not going to post that picture and show that. I don't know. What will people say about me? We want other people to approve of us. And if you're still sitting there kind of, you know, cynical, saying, no, I don't care. I don't know. That's not me. Well, I'd venture to guess that down deep, it is you. We all want to find approval from others. Down deep, we're all adolescents. But we don't always find it. In fact, normally, we never feel totally approved of by other people, by anyone. Think of the person who most has approved of you over your life. Do you feel totally approved of by that person? Like for me, my father, he is the most, he built me up and lifted me up. But you know what? For as much approval as I felt from my father growing up and through life, there's also moments that I remember vividly. It's like, oh, I know he didn't approve of me. I know there's things about me he doesn't approve of. We never feel completely approved of. We never feel completely approved of by anyone. No one can completely approve of us and make us feel complete and make us feel secure and make us feel whole and make us feel valuable. And so we end up feeling down deep at times, kind of alone, kind of sad, kind of insecure, always trying to prove ourselves. And I don't know, I'm 40, so up until now, and may change after this, and some of you may be able to tell me it gets different, you know, later on, but at least up until now, there's always something underneath that's like, you got to prove yourself, you got to prove yourself, you got to prove yourself. And all of this is not to say you shouldn't give approval. If you're a parent, if you're a spouse, if you have people around you who look up to you, it's not to say don't give them approval. You should. They need it. That's one of the greatest gifts that you can give people in your life is I love you and I'm happy with you. I love you and I'm happy with you. But depending, listen, you can give approval to others, but depending on other people for their approval, it's dangerous. It's dangerous because you're never going to be completely approved of by anyone. And so you're always going to feel like, oh, there's just more I need to do. More I need to do to be completely approved of. And it's futile. I love that word. It's futile, right? Because it doesn't, you never get it. No one can completely approve of you, at least no human. And where we're going with this is we can only find true approval in God. Only in God do we find complete approval. Can we find the security of knowing that there's someone who looks down at us and says, I know you, and I love you, and I'm happy with you. We can find that, but only in God. The big idea that we'll see today in the text is that the Father approves, and when I say Father, that's capital F, the Father, the Father, approves of His children. God the Father approves of His children. And what we'll see today as we read is that God's children can say, my Father loves me and is happy with me. My Father loves me and is happy with me. We'll see it in Jesus, and then we'll see that what we see in, that was true for Jesus is true for us as well. So flip over to Matthew chapter 3. See, what we'll see here in Jesus is that Jesus found complete approval from His Father. That He found love and confirmation and value from his father because his father said it verbally. And that's why as we read through Jesus' life, something is never stated. Well, I think it actually is. I don't seek approval from men, Jesus said at one point, but I think that's in John and not Matthew. So we may never see it stated in Matthew as we read through, but listen, Jesus, you'll see over and over again, Jesus never felt like he had to gain anybody's approval. He could be who he was and true to himself and be because he had his Father's complete approval. And so he didn't need the approval of any person. We see that through his life. Why did he not need anyone's approval? Because he had his Father's approval. See if you can find it in the text. Hint, it's in the last verse. So John 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. So Jesus was going to the Jordan River where his cousin, John the Baptizer, was baptizing people, calling them to return to God. And John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? In other words, you don't need to turn to God. I know you. I know your life. You don't need to repent. You're as close to God as is possible. But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he, John, consented. And Jesus said, I'm going to be baptized because this is what God wants me to do. And this is just something interesting, is a lot of times we put reasons not to be baptized. Well, it's not what the way I was raised. It's not, I there was a ceremony when I was a child. I don't think I need to be baptized. I'm following Jesus. Why do I need to be baptized? And when God says, be baptized, Jesus said, okay, I'm going to do it because God says. I don't have to think it out, and I'm just going to surrender to God. That's why part of the decision to surrender to Jesus is baptism. It's repentance and baptism, and he gives us the example here of what that surrender looks like. And then in verse 16, when Jesus was baptized, immediately he came up from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. So he receives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes up dwelling in him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. God the Father from heaven says, this is my Son. I love him, and I'm happy with him. That's incredible. Jesus hears, and not just Jesus, but those around him. In an audible voice, the Father says, this is my Son. I love him, and I'm happy with him. It's validation. It's love. It's approval. He hears and feels that. And if you think about it, just think about that for a moment. What are some of the aspects of that approval? Because sometimes I mess it up with like when I approve of my children. I give my children approval when they obey and when they do what they're supposed to do. Then I'm happy with them. And when they don't do what they're supposed to do, I'm not as happy with them. That's conditional approval, right? Look at Jesus' approval from the Father. God says, this is my Son, beloved Son, and I'm happy with him. There was no condition tied to that. There was no, let's see how the next 3 years of ministry goes, and if he actually goes to the cross, and then I'll completely sign off of my approval. It's, this is my Son, because he's my Son, I'm happy with him. It's approval that is complete, and it's approval that's unconditional. There's nothing written in there. I mean, when I tell my kids that I'm happy with them, I want to put a caveat in. It's like, I'm happy with you, but keep behaving because it's kind of conditional on that. I'm as happy with you right now as I can be, but that could change in an instant. You know, you could throw a fit in Walmart, and then, well... I'm not going to be as happy with you. God didn't write any caveats or conditions into his approval of his Son. It was, my kids don't throw fits in Walmart, right? I don't want you to have the wrong idea. And if you see me in Walmart and my kid is throwing a fit, that's the exception, not the rule. Just, okay. So, God didn't write any caveats or conditions into his approval of his Son. He said, you're my Son. That's why I approve of you. Not because you behave, not because you're going to do well over the next 3 years, not because you're going to go to the cross. I approve of you because you're my Son. There's no footnote or little asterisk next to it saying, as long as you keep doing. No, it's you're my son, I love you, and I approve of you. It wasn't because of what Jesus was going to do. Jesus hadn't started his ministry yet. This wasn't God at the end of Jesus' life saying, you've done good, I approve of you. It was merely, you are my son, I approve of you. That's the approval of the Father. Again, the Father, not there's no father, human father, who can give this kind of approval. There's no person who can. We should try to model the Father's approval. We're never going to do it correctly, completely. The approval of the Father is, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're my child, I love you, and I am happy with you. With you, I am well pleased. And if you say, okay, I see how that applies to Jesus, because God says it to Jesus, how does that apply to us? How can you take what God said to Jesus and then step back and say, that's for everybody? If the big idea was God approves of his son, his child, Jesus, well, I could see that in the text. But how can you get the big idea God approves of his children from this text? Well, you start with this text, but then we have to look at some other texts. This is for Jesus. This approval was for Jesus. But as we'll see as we keep reading, it's for anyone who is in Christ. It's for Jesus. God approves of Jesus, and he approves of anyone else who is in Christ. God approves of his children with the same approval and the same love that he has for Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Go through verse 1 and 6. What's the big story of the Bible as it relates to us? Well, it's that God made us in his image to reflect his glory, what he was like. And instead of us imitating God and reflecting what God is like, what do? We say, I want to be like me, and I want to be seen as important and valuable. And so I want glory for me, and I'm going to do what I want. And that inevitably leads us to rebel against God. And when we do that, we're disobeying God. We're trying to take his place, just like Lucifer and just like Adam and Eve did at the beginning. And then Jesus comes and lives a perfect life, which we could not do. And he dies a death innocently, which we could not do, in our place, and absorbs the Father's wrath. It gives anyone who enters into him forgiveness of sins and his perfection. That's what Ephesians 2:1 talks about. And when you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. He's describing how we are outside of Christ. Until you decide to enter into Christ, this is our condition. It's children of God's wrath. It's not someone who can say, the Father approves of me. It's someone who could say, the Father does not approve of me because I've rebelled against him. But then, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, our sin, our rebellion. So God loves us when we haven't done anything to deserve that love. That sounds like the kind of loving approval that a father would have for his child, independent of their actions. So when we've rebelled against God, God decides to love us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him. So God made us alive with Christ, the one who never disobeyed, and us, the ones who rebelled against him, made us alive. We were dead. He made us alive. And by grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? You say, I'm seated in a bench in a building on earth, seated in a heavenly. What is that talking about? He's saying, that's your spiritual position. You're part of God's family. You're seated with Christ as part of God's family. Your actual identity, if you are in Christ, is you are God's son or daughter, seated with Christ, together with Christ. You have been made alive in Christ. You've received the Father's love, and you are approved of by the Father. That's how God is able to approve of you and I, even though we are different from Jesus, in that we are not perfect. And we are not even, Jesus is part of the Godhead, he's part of the Trinity, we aren't. But how can we receive the same approval from the Father that Jesus received? How can God be our Father, and how can he look at us and say, I love you and I'm happy with you? Well, it's because God made us alive and he seated us with Christ. He put us together with his Son, and so he's able to approve of us, not because of what we do, but because of what Christ did. And if you are in Christ, you become the perfection of Christ. So if you think about your day yesterday, and there's probably moments where you would say, yeah, I know God didn't approve of me in that moment. But here's the thing. If you are in Christ, God sees Christ and not you, and he approves of you. That is why the Father is able to approve of us completely. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. There's a lot of pronouns without saying what they are, so I'll translate as we go. For our sake, he, God, made him, Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin. So Jesus never rebelled against the Father, but God made him to be sin, to be rebellion against the Father, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness or the perfection of God. If you were in Christ, you are perfect in God's eyes. That's how God is able to look at you and say, I completely approve of you. And even when my Spirit continues working in you and makes you better and better, tomorrow you'll be better than you were today, and you're progressively being made better, I approve of you completely today. I won't approve of you more tomorrow than I do today. Why? I won't love you more tomorrow than I do today. Why? Because you're in Christ. And in him, you have become the perfection of God. Look at what Hebrews 10:14 says. For by a single offering, he, Christ, has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified, who are being made holy, who are being made perfect. So you read that, and if you're analytic, you're like, eh, that doesn't make sense. He made us perfect for all time, and we're being made perfect. How does that work? How can I be completely perfect while I'm being made perfect? Won't I be being made perfect and then someday be perfect? And that's this dual nature of a Christian. On one hand, if you're in Christ, you are made perfect. Perfect for all time before the Father. The Father looks down at you and doesn't see you. He sees Christ covering you. He sees Christ's perfection covering you. And you've been made perfect. You've been made the righteousness, the perfection of God in his eyes. You've been made perfect before the Father. And the last part, those who are being made perfect. And at the same time that he sees you as being perfect, his Spirit is working in you, making you more and more perfect. Making you different, making you change, so that how you are in reality matches how Christ is, the one who is covering you. That's why God is able to approve of his children, because he sees us through Christ and he sees us as being perfect, so he can approve of us completely and unconditional. It doesn't say the righteousness of Christ when you have a good day. It doesn't say made perfect for all time except for when you mess up. It's complete and unconditional. It's not for what because of what we do. It's because of Jesus, and it's because we are in Jesus. And if we are in Jesus, we are made the perfection of the Father, and the Father approves of us, and we receive the approval of the Father. Look at one more verse. Look at 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we might be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Then it continues, beloved, we are God's children now. Look at that. We have God's approval. We're made his perfection, his righteousness in Christ. And the father looks down on his children and says, I love you. You're my child. I love you. And I approve of you. God approves. God the Father approves of his children. So, if that's true, then what should we do? I would say, in the same way that Jesus lived his life under this reality of God the Father loves me and approves of me, we should also live our lives in that same way. We should live our lives with the approval of the Father, which leads us to the question, what do you need to do? What do I need to do? What do we need to do to live our lives with the approval of the Father? And for some of us, that means you need to receive God's approval. In the way that today's message is very comforting and very and just the most beautiful truth for people who are already in Christ, if you've never made the decision to be in Christ, if you've never repented and been baptized, if you've never given yourself to Jesus and said, you will be my Lord and my Savior, and I'm deciding that with my heart, my mind, by repentance, and my body by being baptized, if you've never made that decision, then today's message is very harsh, and it's very sad, and it's very jarring. It's God does not approve of me. In fact, the opposite is true. I can't say God is my Father and He loves me and He approves of me. I can't say any of that. I can't say God is my Father. I can't say, He loves me, but not the way He loves His children, because I'm not His child. And He doesn't. He absolutely doesn't approve of me. But the good news is that if that's you, you can receive the Father's approval. You can turn to Jesus and repent and be baptized and give yourself to Him. And in that moment, Acts 2:38 says, you receive the forgiveness of sins and the Spirit fills you. You're made perfect in the eyes of your Father. You become the righteousness of God. No matter how much dirt and baggage you bring with you, in that moment, you're covered with Christ. He absorbs the wrath of the Father for you and covers you with His righteousness, with His perfection. And God is able to look at you and say, in that instant, I love you. You're my child, and I approve of you. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, just tell someone, and you can be walked through the process of repenting and being baptized. For others of us, we've already made that decision. And so you say, okay, how do I live with the approval of the Father? Well, maybe today for you is a reminder, or maybe today for you it's something you're hearing for the first time. Maybe for you, it's a reminder because you know this in your mind, but we forget it. And so we look for other people's approval, and we depend on other people's approval. Maybe for you, this is something you're hearing for the first time, and you never realize that if I'm God's child, He loves me and approves of me totally on my good days and on my bad days. He loves me and is happy with me because I'm in Christ, not because I'm perfect, but rather because I'm His child. And so whether this is new for you or whether this is a reminder, it's a call for us to accept and remember what we have. It's a call for us to stop basing our happiness and our feeling of being complete on other people's approval and other people's feelings for us. If other people value me and love me and are happy with me, that changes how I feel. It shouldn't, though. And when I feel like someone important to me doesn't approve of me, it changes how I feel, but it shouldn't. We should stop depending on other people's approval and other people's love and other people telling us, I'm happy with you, for our completeness and our wholeness. And rather, if you're in Christ, we should depend completely on the Father's approval. And in those moments when we're sad and we feel alone and we feel incomplete and we need someone to tell us, if someone would just tell me I'm happy with you and I love you, that would just make all the difference. If you're human, you know those moments. You know what that feels like. In those moments, we should remind ourselves, God is my Father, and He loves me, and He's happy with me. And in those moments, remembering that, it changes everything. Because then it doesn't matter if you like me or if you're happy with me. My Father, the King of the universe, the one whose opinion matters more than anybody else, He loves me and He's happy with me. And then when something kicks in, you're reminded immediately, I don't know if He loves you and is happy with you right now. Remember what you just did? Remember how then we remind ourselves of the gospel. He loves me and is happy with me because of Jesus, not because of me. God is my Father, and He loves me and is happy with me. So again, what do you need to do to live your life with the approval of the Father, conscious of the approval of the Father, as someone who has and knows that he has the approval of the Father? Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. And God, I pray that you would help us to see that you are a loving Father for your children. And you approve of your children. And you are happy with your children. And we owe all of that to Jesus, because we can't do anything to deserve your approval. But he did it all. And it was good enough. And it was more than good enough. So we thank you for him. God, I pray that you would pull on those of us who have not made the decision to give ourselves to you. That you would pull on us. That we would say, I want to do that. I want to be your child. I want that approval and that love of the Father. And for those of us, God, who are your children, I pray that you would remind us of that. In those moments when we feel alone and incomplete and insecure. Those moments when we find ourselves really, really being beat up because we want other people to be happy with us. I pray that you'd remind us through your Spirit that you are a Father and you love us and you're happy with us. That would give the kind of peace and confidence to our lives that Jesus had. It's in his name we pray. Amen.